Chapter 11. Elusive Realities.
Who was she?
Hello, Tegan. Are you following me again?
Who says I ever stopped?
McKittrick's smile had a power all its own. Never had I felt more lost and alone in my entire life. Was I desperate enough to crave her malformed visits? In a word, yes. She's nothing for you to worry about.
I'm not jealous if that's what you're thinking.
No, then what?
I'm lonely and scared.
You're reading my mind, aren't you?
I'm not sure that's a good idea. You don't seem to be in a healthy frame of mind tonight.
This coming from... I stopped myself. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm not in a healthy frame of mind.
You don't mind that I'm here with you?
Why would I? You're prettier than most and far less threatening.
Have you ever had a girlfriend before?
Yes.
Did you love her?
I might have, given a chance, but it didn't work out. I flicked a finger at my collar. What about you?
Once. You remind me of him. It didn't work out.
She reached out, silently tapping my collar, and faded away. The knots in my mind were coming back in ever more twisted ways. The elusive realities of Psychana seemed to draw me ever deeper into its traps. I didn't go straight home as planned, but took the scenic route in search of a real fight. There was nothing false about my aggression, or the need to test out my suit of silver knives. Don't treat me like a human being, and suggest I keep my distance from my peers. Don't steal my past and expect me to know who I am. Don't give me downtime without teaching me the finer points of blowing off steam. And don't play the victim in an utterly dangerous situation and walk away without a word. The only thing I'd learned this far with any certainty was that if I wanted to leave, there was only one door out. I was getting ready to knock, but before I reached that level of desperation, I'd better come to grips with the insanity that was Psychana. Feth. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that nobody truly bought into this reality. Not the recruits, the Bellagems, or the commissars. Not even the proctors or psychopaths. Like the Emperor and the Imperial Guard, some bought into the end results. But wherever Sanctionite Mateen had ended up, if he'd even existed at all, was a better place than here. I had to believe that. Lacking any joy, I reached the Scola's main plaza for a second time. The knight only had a few hours left to kill, and apparently so did Commissar Trasker Belling. He stood on the opposite side of the round, flanked by a pair of Null sisters. One of them was Mercina. Belling kept his hand on his bolt pistol and waited for me to approach. Finding my side of the circle to be more than comfortable, I called out, "Commissar, what brings you out at this time of night?" Belling answered by drawing his weapon and firing off a shot. It wasn't a warning. I didn't know where commissars attended Scola, but assumed Belling had only studied anatomy and marksmanship. His first round hit me dead center in the chest from more than 40 paces. Feth. My psychic armor stopped the weighty projectile barely. The bolt's energy dispersed over my entire torso and staggered me. My sight wavered in the dim light, and I dodged left as another crack sounded, this one buzzing past my ear. He hadn't expected that. With his black-clad bodyguards, Belling was unassailable. A bolt pistol was heavy and didn't carry all that many rounds, 10 at most, but more likely 6 for a human-sized clip, where one bullet was usually enough. The gun would become lighter and more nimble as the rounds were fired, making it easier to aim and harder to dodge. Feth. It was time to run, but I couldn't. Not with Mercina standing there and not with a bullet in my back as the most likely outcome. Nobody chooses to go down like that. I screamed, "Does Delia know you'd rather play with your gun?" Bang. Left shoulder spinning me in place. Bang. Right shoulder blade. I didn't dare go down. I didn't dare stop moving. An image of Horatio Balagem standing tall flickered in my head. I pulled a full salvo from Starfire and let loose, aiming at the ground halfway between us. The explosion tore up the plascrete and showered the trio with shrapnel and dust as Belling fired again. He flinched, sending the bolt high over my head. I circled right, forcing Belling to step in front of his escort to fire off his final shot. Neither woman looked like they wanted to be there. Each wore a few small cuts on their faces, as did Belling. I skipped the bank shot and went straight for the kill. It was useless, but the commissar needed to know how it felt. In an instant, a bolt of lightning streaked straight at his forehead, and 10 feet short of its mark, the streak disappeared without a sound. Belling took a step back and fired again as I spun away. The shot grazed my left bicep and tumbled away into the plaza behind me. My arm dangled, shattered. Some witches wear uniforms. Belling ejected his empty clip and holstered his gun, saying,
"You've been warned."
He turned away. I yelled back, barely moving any air, "Where the feth are you going?" He halted and smiled, pointing to himself. I spat a gobbet of blood onto the ground at my feet and rubbed it in with my boot. "Leave the sisters out of this."
"I'm not a fool."
That was one reality, and I knew better. I began walking toward the trio, and the sisters each drew a short saber, a weapon of last resort. They were a single pace behind Belling.
"No, put your weapons away. He can't touch us,"
said Belling. Up close, it was apparent that he'd suffered a few minor cuts and nothing more. The divot in the middle of the plaza was sizable, but most of the material had melted or turned to dust, peppering their uniforms and scattering harmlessly at their feet. I halted 5 paces short of the commissar. "How long until Scola time?"
"We've still got an hour. Why, you want more?"
"Who was Sanctionite Mateen?" Belling frowned.
"A rapist. We shipped him out."
"Did he get the same treatment as me?"
"No, but he didn't mess with Funnel Galt. Didn't anyone tell you that second-year students are off-limits?"
That was the commissar's job, I was sure. Somehow he'd forgotten to mention it earlier. What was the name of the woman that Mateen attacked?
"Why do you care?"
I was trying to sort realities. I took a slow step forward and then another, feeling the black shroud descend over my head. I closed my eyes and swayed as my protective shield disappeared. Maybe, if it had only been one sister watching his back. Feth. Who was I kidding? Commissar Trasker Belling's fist did what I couldn't, clocking me out a minute short of 0600. The parade had ended hours ago. Uluxio Centelles and an older gentleman were waiting for my return. The stranger wore robes of office even finer than those of Cardinal Muellin, the acting dean of Psychana.
"Eventually that jaw of yours is going to cause you trouble," said Centelles. "Commissar Belling managed to rearrange your mandibular joint."
I couldn't tell if he was joking. The air felt soupy, thick and full of flavor. The Medic-K cocktail that I was sipping had to be top shelf. The surrounding machines murmured with a hushed concern. I whispered, "How long this time?"
10 days and 2 surgeries so far. You'd been released for approximately 12 hours when they brought you back in. You were bleeding internally."
I didn't feel like explaining. "You reviewed all the videos?"
"All of them. It was a most enlightening 12 hours. We appreciate the fact that you condensed it all for our benefit."
"Where do I stand?"
"You don't. Not for another week. Maybe 2.
Uluxio seemed to be speaking in an overly careful manner, as if he'd stepped in it and his boss was now watching his every move. I glanced at the other gentleman. We hadn't been introduced, which in my experience could only mean one thing. "Inquisitor?" The man didn't smile.
"He's certainly brighter than he looks. Why doesn't he act like it?"
Dodging his apt third-person remark, I held out my right hand. "I'm Peric Silver." The older man relented and gave my hand a gentle shake.
"I'm Dean Sindar Kilhaven, and yes, I'm an inquisitor of Ordo Hereticus. One doesn't leave that sort of position behind."
"A witch hunter?"
"Once. You kill enough witches and they make you train them for your successors. The Ordo Hereticus will never be short of targets."
The Dean of Psychana spoke far more freely than Centelles. This entire sector was his domain. I gave him my bitter best. "Who needs the Inquisition when you have Commissar Trasker Belling and the Sisters of the Abyss poaching on Scola grounds?" Uluxio Centelles chuckled at my anger.
"See what I said about his jaw?"
"What about the rest of me?" "Dean Kilhaven made the decree."
"You will undergo a few more operations and you will heal. I've seen the reports."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning you will visit me when you get out of here."
Sindar Kilhaven lived in the Overhive Towers of Psychana City, making his invitation unheard of in the annals of Scola Psychana. It meant that he'd seen far more than my Psychana file. I looked at Interrogator Centelles. "Did something happen while I was out?"
"Clan Balagim ordered a new statue for their courtyard, and someone in the Astra Militarum thought to ask why. We shared those video feeds with the interested parties."
"Including those positioned around the Scola's main plaza?" Somewhere in the vast organizations of the Astra Militarum, the commissariat provided support for the troops and their flagging morale. I'd learned the hard way how they did it, and the Medic K cocktail did its best to make me forget the experience.
We're keeping that set within the walls of Sikahna for the time being. We feel its existence will help keep Commissar Belling and the Sisters at bay.
Belling would never have used me for target practice if the Sisters weren't around. The Sisters' presence had likely saved my life in the long run, but I wouldn't admit that to anyone anytime soon. Dean Kilhaven tisked.
There's one standing outside your door right now, and the guard with the Hellgun comes from my personal retinue. He will remain here after I leave. You have another surgery planned for tonight. The humerus bone in your left arm was shattered beyond repair, as were your sternum, shoulder blade, and several of your ribs. You're in for more replacements.
It was a setup, I said. Commissar Belling explained that Funnel Gault was untouchable after I'd already touched the second year. It's all good fun until the bolt pistol comes calling.
Gault reached the same conclusion, but neither one of you has any sway with the rules of Sikahna or the Commissariat.
I've got nothing against Gault, but he could have warned me. My head had been spinning from the moment I'd entered House Balagam. The traps had come at me from every direction and destroyed any trust I might have placed on the dining table with Clan Balagam. The neutral hab's tasteless cuisine would be a fitting punishment for my blind maneuvers. Kilhaven explained,
Funnel Gault has his protectors. We expect the Imperial Guard to arrive within the month to collect his talents. And if you're lucky, he'll be gone by the time you get out of the Medicaid.
I didn't want to hear about anyone else's protectors or consider the fact that one of them had set me up for the hardest fall of them all. I need to see some of my classmates. One of them is a healer. Would you send away the Sister and bring them in? I watched Centellez frown at that request. You can restrain me if you're worried I'll make a run for it, but I don't want a Sister of the Abyss anywhere near them or me.
Do you trust your classmates?
Said Centellez. More than I trust you, Dean Kilhaven, or anyone else here. There, I said it. I would have been stone dead with Belling's first shot if I hadn't worn an overcharged psychic shield. The Commissar played by his rules, and I would play by mine. That was my new reality. Having survived the impromptu execution, I was eager to share it with those that mattered most. As the two men left, I could feel the stimulant they'd been feeding me suddenly disappear from my drink. It was as good a time as any to stretch my ethereal legs. After taking in a big enough dose of energy from Starfire, I slipped away, falling straight down through my bed and the floor. I didn't stop until I was floating two sectors below Sikahna. I moved south and shot upward, all the way to the abandoned service platform known as the Satellite. The place was perfectly desolate, with only the vibration of air recyclers churning nearby. The midnight lights and speakers had been stowed. The graffiti lingered in the background. Gathering in the flow of the Scola below, I perched on the untrimmed edge like a gargoyle from ancient times. In the distance, each Sanctionite stood out like a beacon, and each null like a black dot. The human guards and service techs ranged about in unappealing smudges. I was looking for a smudge, one with black dots as an escort. From on high, it wasn't too hard. All it took was a little patience. Unfortunately, I wasn't the only one out hunting. A female voice interrupted my gaze.
So there you are, back at the scene of the crime.
I'd been hoping for another female with a far less bitter tone. I kept my distance from Balagem's star handler. Lexi, what are you doing here?
Too bad you couldn't do that the other night, eh?
She noted my position and the fact that my astral form hovered beyond the platform's edge and well out of her reach. I had to admit she looked good. The uniform she wore had been custom fitted to accentuate her form and provided another clue regarding my poor understanding of the Sikahna landscape. I'd get nowhere hawking over smudges and dots. I switched tactics. What color are my eyes?
I'm not here for your eyes.
Answer the question.
Silver,
she said, proving that she had other talents beyond the aggressive. Why are you here?
To make you an offer. Word is, because of the stunt you pulled, Gault will be gone sooner than we thought. The Imperial Guard now deems Scola Sikahna too dangerous for their latest battle psyker.
You're blaming me? She shook her head.
Where have you been hiding?
I knew it was a bad idea, but I told her. The Medic K. I happen to agree with the guard's assessment.
Can I visit?
No, but maybe I'll stop by Balagam when I get out.
You promise?
Sure, if you answer one question. What did Mateen do? Lexi's face faltered and reddened. She turned her back on me and walked away. If only it was that easy. I spun and dove, heading for the Scola Plaza and the center of my ire. 50 feet below me, the prim uniform of Commissar Trasker Belling walked beside Sister Delia Barmasset in the twilight of the Psychana afternoon. They were heading north toward the domain of the Ecclesiarchy. All signs of our earlier confrontation had been repaired and wiped clean, leaving a few shinier-than-normal blemishes for the first years to wonder about on their way to class. The sight of Belling's bolt pistol drew my eye. He had swapped to a larger capacity clip. 6 might not have been sufficient, but 10 was utterly sadistic and harder to aim. Good luck with that. I tracked them all the way through the gates of their compound and into their habs. They didn't sleep together. Delia was certainly on top if they did. She took a lift up one floor while Trasker limped down a ramp to the one below. He might have some cover depending on the height of his ceilings and the sleeping patterns of those in the apartments above him. Delia had a null bubble extending 15 feet from her body, and I could feel its lesser effects at nearly 20. It was easy to track her progress as it drifted away, leaving Belling exposed for a moment before he entered his floor's main corridor. Another sister of the Abyss stood guard at the door. I could deal with it. I simply ducked, going down 2 levels into the service basement, tracked past the waiting guard, and emerged in the middle of a long hallway. A door slammed at the far end, giving me a clue. I ducked again, moved west, and slowly ascended into the correct apartment. There is nothing more personal than the sight of someone's abode. Past experiences and inner desires tend to escape in the privacy of one's bedroom, and I took the time to examine Belling's collection of polished metals, citations, and family images. He'd built a small shrine out of stones he'd collected from various worlds and labeled them with dates, battles, and names of fallen comrades. A single malformed slug sat among the offerings with his name and that of Scipio V. Acting like an astral parasite, I could steal energy from anything. In my ethereal form, I could invite the semi-intelligent energy of a psyker to relocate and adhere to anyone or anything. My power glaive was an offensive weapon. I'd used it to shatter spells and apparitions, and I'd used it to blast Plascrete with bolts of manifest lightning, but I'd never used its cache of warp-tainted energy directly on another human being. The world of Trasker Belling waited for me to form a single focused thought. The Commissar had no fething idea that I was there. His reality would be over in a second if I could merely find the rage. I recalled the memory of Mersina as she watched me trying to dodge the ludicrous, well-aimed bullets of a bolt pistol. That brought me a step closer. Never had I felt so humiliated in front of another. I'd been an animal dancing in a round, and in the end, the Null Sisters had drawn their sabers, expecting to finish me off. Feth. Belling had already fired the bullet that should have killed me. He'd added 5 more for good measure, so what had stopped him from closing the deal? Why had Belling relented? Had I looked that pathetic? Or had he simply conquered the monster in our midst and relished a chance to gloat? If so, never had a man been more wrong. Trasker Belling had unleashed his own unspeakable power upon me, and I'd absorbed every last bit of it. To him, I was the enemy in every way, shape, or form that I might take, but I was never that muddled. I'd seen the true form of the enemy of mankind, and it looked nothing like either of us. Chaos was pure, unstoppable terror in a form that grew stronger with every passing minute, devouring the bodies and souls of those it encountered. Once you've experienced a warp creature's presence, everything else is a party, even a 75 caliber round to the chest. Okay, maybe that was the Medicaid cocktail talking, but you get the picture.